From KCUR, I'm Steve Kraske, and this is Up to Date. The applications are finished and sent off, and now it's time to wait for a verdict from your teen's chosen range of colleges. But when the acceptances do roll in, how do you choose what's best? This hour, psychologist Wes Crenshaw joins us to talk about the important factors to consider when you're trying to make the best match for academic and social success. We'll also talk with two teens about how to set up for a happy college life and what you should avoid. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. The fall may seem far away, but for many high school seniors, that first day in the dorm or sitting in their first big college lecture hall is just around the corner. Right now, families all over the nation are deciding which colleges their sons and daughters will attend this fall. Yet nearly half of those who start in August and September won't finish in 6 years. Many won't finish at all. Dr. Wes Crenshaw is back to talk about how teens and parents can make the best decisions for college-bound teens, including where to attend, where to live when you get there, and whether you should even be going at all. Dr. Wes Crenshaw is a board-certified family psychologist. He writes the weekly Double Take Advice column for teens and parents in the Lawrence Journal World. He's the author of the Dear Dr. Wes series of books for teens and parents. His book, I Always Want to Be Where I'm Not, Successful Living with ADD and ADHD, comes out this spring. And Wes, good to have you. Welcome back.
It is great to be here, Steve. I have a quiz this morning, and I'm going to give a quote, and I want to see if anyone knows who said it.
Okay.
Intelligence plus character. That is the goal of true education.
Intelligence plus character. Okay.
We'll see if anybody can guess that today.
Wes is joined by Sarah. She's an out-of-state junior who attends KU, and she's a member of a sorority there. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And Matt is a residential advisor at KU. He has previously lived in both the dorms and the scholarship halls. Coincidentally, both are pursuing careers in physical therapy. And Matt, welcome to you, too. So good to have you.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here.
Well, it always makes me cringe, Wes, whenever you bring that stat on the show that 46% of students who go to school this fall won't graduate in 6 years. As parents are making the decision, what are some of the big issues they might want to be weighing here?
Yeah, it's kind of surprising. We have in this country more young people going to college than any other industrialized nation and more that won't make it. At least in 6 long years.
46%, again, of college-bound students, they start out and half of them don't make it in 6 years.
Yeah, and it actually is unfortunate because a lot of the ones that it's actually a higher rate for minority students and students from low socioeconomic levels. So that 46% just kind of scratches the surface. We're good at getting people to college. We're not real great at keeping them there. And this is why you see the administration sort of talking about this now, trying to figure out how to do that better.
Retention is the word they use in higher education circles, I've come to find out.
Absolutely.
Don't you know? Yeah.
And I have what I call the three M's for this. And when people are trying to make a decision for college this fall, if they'll take them into account, it will help them decide if it's a good decision. And those are maturity, money, and match.
Maturity, money, and match. And we'll get into an explanation of what exactly he's talking about. And by all means, if you want to answer Dr. Wes's question, which was, again, what, Wes?
This is the quote. It is, I have to go back to it because I want to get it right. Intelligence plus character. That is the goal of true education. And I think it's a good quote because it really reminds us that education's more than painting the school colors on your chest and singing the fight song every week. It's about trying to build good character as well as intelligence.
And if you want to answer that question, or those of you who are struggling to make a college decision right now, we'd like to hear from you. What's turning out to be the toughest part of the decision for you? By all means, high school seniors who are home today as the nation commemorates Martin Luther King Jr. Day, you're around. Give us a call, too. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address, UpToDate at KCUR.org. You can tweet us at KCUR UpToDate. Sarah, this notion that half the kids don't make it, are you surprised by that?
Not really, actually. My brother, who is 23, he's in his sixth year of college right now. He's got another year to go. So
really?
Yep, and he's actually considering changing majors and having to kind of start over. So
well, what's the rush, right?
And, yeah, and I don't know.
So you're not surprised by what you're seeing at all?
No, I'm not. I have a lot of friends, actually, that are on their fifth or sixth year. They just... It's too hard, too much pressure to figure out what you want to do your freshman year for the rest of your life. So I think a lot of people change their mind halfway through college, and classes don't really match up with your majors, so you kind of have to start mm-hmm. back from scratch.
Dr. West is shaking his head. Matt, are you surprised that half the kids aren't making it in 6 years?
Sadly, it doesn't surprise me much as it probably should. I think that a lot of high school students really don't investigate what type of jobs are really out there or really look at the kind of careers that they'd want to be doing before coming to school.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the time that maybe it can be seen as kind of a societal pressure maybe to go to college and less about maybe the quest for knowledge.
It's the expected thing to do for so many kids, right?
Right.
I've got a freshman in college. I know what it's about. Kids just sort of go because that's the treadmill they're on, right?
Right. It's just kind of expected all your friends are going off and, you know, you want to kind of follow the trend, but you kind of get there. You might choose a school because it's convenient or close, but not really. It might not have the program that you're looking for.
Yeah.
So
Wes, I mean, kids don't know what they're doing, right? They go to school because that's what everybody else is doing. They don't know really why they're there, and that's why it takes 5, 6, 7, 8 years to get through it.
Yeah, and that actually goes to all three of the M's if you think about it. Maturity is something we gain with age. Big surprise there, huh? And so at 17 or 18, we're doing something really strange. We're asking people to not only plan for a career, but also to think, who am I and where will I best fit in and how will I live when I get to college and so on. And just as Sarah said, many times people aren't really ready to make that choice. And you mm-hmm. have to think this time of the year, how mature is my young adult? Soon to be young adult, and how are they going to function in the fall? And they're base your college decisions in part on that.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to some phone calls here. Some folks already in the queue here want to talk about this big decision, struggling to make a decision about which college to attend next year. Jerry from up in Cameron. Jerry, you're on UpToDate. He's got a guess on who offered the quote. Jerry, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Good.
Great.
Fire away, Jerry.
Yeah. My guess on the quote was John Dewey.
That's a great guess because John Dewey, being famous for revolutionizing education, but it is not. And if there were a prize, you wouldn't win it. Luckily,
okay.
There's not
Can I
good.
Make one other comment?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I'm a retired educator. I used to be a high school principal in a couple of different schools, but I totally agree with the comments about young people going to college simply because it's a trend. And I see that with a lot of the kids that I have helped to graduate. And one other thing about the ratio that graduate in 6 years, I think the accumulation of student debt mm-hmm. has a lot to do with that now. A lot of kids are so overburdened by debt that I really think they interrupt their education to go get a job to help start paying off the debt. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
I agree. I heard the other day, actually, I read it in my column because Kendra put it in there, that the advice is that you should not accumulate more debt than you can afford in your first year's salary. So I guess that means if you're going to make $100,000 the first year, you could afford $100,000 in debt.
And who's making that, Wes?
It's well, for sure. Yeah. And it's hard to get through school in 4 years with less than $100,000 debt if you don't have other resources. I actually did a show on St. Louis on the Air, a sister show to yours one time, and we got started on this topic and never could get off of it. This is such a significant problem with people running up debt for sometimes majors, I'm sorry to say, that aren't going to generate a paycheck. We've talked about that here before. So I think the caller is correct to be concerned about that.
Well, Jerry, I appreciate the phone call.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet. Bye-bye. Let's go to Kim from Prairie Village, and she's got a guess as to who offered this very significant quote. Kim, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. I appreciate that the quote is from who I will call the man of the day.
Exactly right. It's Martin Luther King.
Well,
And that actually, I believe that quote goes back to a paper that he wrote back in 1947 at Morehouse College in the student newspaper. So that was, by my calculations, when he was considering education up close and personal.
Well, Wes, let's tell Kim what she just won. She won a 4-year paid college education courtesy of Crenshaw Enterprises of Lawrence, Kansas.
Or a nice hug.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I have a daughter who's a freshman in college, I'll take it.
Yes.
I have a question, though,
yes, Kim.
And I don't know if you'll be able to answer, but I'm very proud that my daughter did receive some scholarships, but it didn't make it a zero amount for us to pay. And so I'm wondering, you always hear that there are millions of dollars worth of unclaimed scholarships every year. I have tried to do research and online research. My question is, do you know, should we pay someone to help us find additional scholarships, or what is a good resource to find additional scholarships that supposedly are out there just waiting for her?
Kim or Matt, you have any thoughts about this? You guys found a magic gravy train that maybe Kim should know about?
No, I wish.
Only person I can think of asking is maybe the high school advisor.
Yeah.
But I can't think of any kind of private investigator investigates that kind of thing.
They're out there, though, I think.
There are those kind of headhunters of finance. I think that probably the thing you have to remember, and there are kind of two things I have to say about this. One is your scholarship monies may be large, but so are the people seeking them. And a lot of those scholarships, I mean, my family has a scholarship fund for the college I went to, and it's for a specific type of person that was involved in United Methodist Youth Ministries. Mm. And if you happen to be that person, you know, go to Southwestern College and get that scholarship. A lot of that money, when you add it up, doesn't fit very many people. The second thing I want to caution people about, and we were going to talk about it anyhow, and you've brought it up, is chasing the money can be kind of dangerous. I did a column a few weeks ago where I actually said that colleges use these first-year scholarships as loss leaders. And so people will apply to an expensive college. Maybe it's out-of-state tuition or another university that's going to cost them a lot because they get nearly a full ride. Then you get there and you have to maintain a grade point average.
Mm-hmm.
And if your grade point average drops way down in the cellar, which is 3.2, suddenly you lose the scholarship, and here you are with your friends and your sorority and your classes. What do you choose? Typically, you choose to borrow the money. And I think that's a pretty neat deal for colleges who offer this loss leader and in come the students. Then they end up paying it off in the end. So if you're not going to be able to maintain a pretty darn high grade point average, be very careful following that money to a college you can't otherwise afford.
And Kim, for what it's worth, you and I are walking in the same valley of death right now. I know exactly. I have a freshman in college. I know exactly what you're up against. So I appreciate that.
I know you do. Thank you.
Kim, thank you. Appreciate it. Let's go to Leslie from Leawood. Leslie, you're on Up to Date. We're talking today about how to decide which college to go to. Leslie, good morning.
Good morning. Well, it's a ripe topic, and there are a lot of things I could contribute. One thing that worked for us on our second child was considering a gap year.
Yes.
Was very much against the grain. He wasn't too into the idea to begin with. And it was against the grain for him because what we weren't saying, you're not going to go to school. We were saying you need more time to figure out what you're going to do when you get to school.
Yeah.
And then it was finding the right program, and that's a whole separate show. But in the end, he did buy in, and the against the grain continued as it was hard when his friends were going off to school and, you know, whatever. 3 years later, as promised, it's not so hard. They're about to graduate from college. He's got another year to go. But I think that's an overlooked option sometimes.
Yes.
He ended up actually getting a full year's worth of credit for that time away because it was not just contemplating his navel and staring at the sky.
What did he do, Leslie?
He went on a program to Jerusalem where he studied Arabic and Hebrew. He also looked at modern Middle East conflict, and the program was an independent program from New York, but it was credited through Oxford University. And every 5 weeks they traveled around to Jewish diaspora countries. So he got a lot of travel in that year, and a lot of paper writing and a lot of cultural experiences, and gave him a little more context for where he might end up being, and not in terms of what he was studying at all, actually, in the end, but just in terms of who he was and what he could do.
How did you convince him to take the gap year? I mean, what arguments seemed to win the day, at least from your vantage point, Leslie?
Well, you know, in our house, there was never any question that kids were going to go to college. So in that sense, I was fighting my own advice over the years, because he was like, well, of course I'm going to go to school. But in the end, I think he was also nervous about, you know, he'd been a quote unquote good kid going through doing all the things, but it was pretty automaton. It wasn't really for himself. And what I had to convince him was that this time was really a time for him to do what he wanted to do. And the proof of that was that he left the country going from a deferral at a college back east to mid-year deciding that he was going to transfer, which I questioned, because usually you go to a school before you transfer away from it. But he came back to actually attend a different college. And that has been a fantastic decision. And guess what? It was his decision all by himself. Hmm. So, and I didn't help him with that. I told him he had to talk to his college counselor at the high school, which he did. And, you know, he made the application from overseas all by himself. So, well,
Leslie, I'm sure glad you called. Thanks for the contribution. I appreciate it. Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. Wes, I guess the question on the table then is, how do you determine whether a newly graduated high school student is, you know, mature enough to go off to college when they're 18 years old?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. I always think we should have like the Golden Parenting Award for the parents that call in on the show and have a great idea, but so many call that they would all win. And that was an excellent call that really illustrates how that family did assess the young person's maturity and then respond to it. One of the things people make a mistake on is thinking that maturity has to do with whether you load the dishwasher or clean your room. And it just isn't.
If that's the case, I got real problems.
Exactly.
4844 Belinder Court. Yeah.
And really what you're looking for is how a young person makes decisions in high school. And do they dedicate enough time to school, or do you have to follow them around and make them do it? How do they handle substance use? Surely my young people today will not disagree that the use of substances in college wipes out more people in the grade point pool than any other issue. People just party from Thursday to Sunday. So see how the young person managed their substance use. How did they manage their time? And what kind of decisions did they make about their life during that time?
Well, Matt and Sarah, I gather the two of you went straight into college from high school. Do I have that right?
Yep.
Yes.
Why? Why didn't you take a gap year? Did you consider it? And why didn't you if you didn't?
Well, I did. Ever since I've been in kindergarten, I've always been a fan of KU. So in that sense, I'd been looking at that school for a long time. But as things like sports became less important and academics became more important, I started really looking into the programs and things that my family members had done, fields that they had been involved in. And one of the ones that really interested me was health profession. And I know that KU had a very, for what I wanted to do, physical therapy, had a very good preparation program for that. So I talked to my parents about that, and we came to the decision that was really the best choice academically. It was a far enough school away where I could feel independent, but close enough where I could come home when I needed to.
So you knew what you wanted to do. You were ready to go, if I'm hearing you right.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I alluded to earlier, that a lot of people don't really know a whole lot. But I had a pretty good idea when I went into it.
Sarah, how about you?
Well, I'm going to make myself sound like a loser here, but I didn't have a whole lot of friends in college or in high school, and I was kind of ready to just move on. I was the youngest of four kids. My mom was moving to Florida after I graduated from high school, and it didn't have a lot keeping me in that town. And taking a gap year in my town, it's a smaller town, and people typically...
What state, can I ask?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, yeah.
Yep, it's typically a town that if you don't go off to college right away, you're going to be in that town
forever,
bagging groceries for the rest of your life, or something like that. And so it was kind of this stigma against taking a gap year, and I was ready to move on. So I actually started looking at out-of-state colleges because I didn't really have a reason to even stay in Wisconsin. Most people in my high school, they all go to colleges in little packs, and then they don't make any new friends. Since I didn't have any friends to go to college with, I just wanted to start new and not have anyone from my high school at my college. So I was looking out of state, and I was actually on spring break, and I heard about KU through March Madness. That's how I found out about it. I didn't even know it existed until then. And so I looked into it.
From the basketball team you're talking about.
So I found out about it from the basketball team. So I went and I looked into it, and I was like, hey, Mom, do you think we could go visit this school? It was the only place that I really actually wanted to go visit. So we went and we took a road trip.
What was it about? What tripped a trigger in you that KU was the place?
I don't really know what it was. The people I met from there were really cool, and it was kind of like a link to me that was there. It was this whole new world that I hadn't experienced yet. And being
wheat fields
in such
a, and cornfields and,
yeah,
and
well,
Lawrence
being
and
in
all
such
these
a small
things,
town,
which
like
we love
you
out
don't
here,
know
right?
anyone mm-hmm. else outside of your town, really. So it was like cool to meet someone else outside of my town. And so I kind of wanted to go and see what other people were like from that area. So we went and checked it out. The second I set foot on that campus, I looked at my mom. I said, this is it. And she looked at me. And she's like, yep, this is it.
No kidding.
Yep.
No
so
kidding.
It's the only
That's
school
great.
I applied to, and it's the only school that I wanted to go to.
My son has gone off to DePaul in Chicago. Same experience. He sort of got there in the big city and thought, this is it. He didn't know a soul. He knew one kid a couple grades ahead of him a little bit, but didn't really know him. You didn't know anybody at KU.
No.
How did you that's a scary proposition, isn't
especially
it?
Especially for someone who was shy and introverted at
yes,
that point.
Yes, and hence a loser in high school. But
I do not believe you.
But it was refreshing for me to not have anyone there that I knew, because no one there knew me either.
You wanted a fresh start.
Yeah.
In a
what
sense.
My problem was in high school was I started out as a different person my freshman year than I ended up my senior year. But in such a small town, everybody knows you. They don't forget who you were. So they don't let you be anyone else than what you like were at one point. Yeah. So I could never change. Even though I was different, no one ever saw me as a better person than I was. So I wanted a new start. No one knew me at KU. I got to be exactly who I wanted to be walking in. And I knew that I was really shy and it was going to be hard for me to make friends. So that's why I went through the recruitment process for joining a sorority. So I got to meet people just through recruitment. Even if I hadn't joined a house, I'm glad I did it, because you meet so many people just from the experience.
And just from the tone of your voice, I gather this experience at KU is going pretty well.
Yeah, I've had a great time. I don't regret it at all. I think it's been a huge learning experience for me. I have a lot of friends that are really close to home. They're about a half hour away from their house going to KU. And they go home all the time, like every weekend. And I can't even imagine that, because I go home like twice a year. And I think it's given me a one-up on everyone, because I've had to mature and go through everything on my own without my family there for me. And it's definitely made me grow a lot more than I've seen other people grow who stayed close to home.
Well, three words for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Thank
Very,
you.
That's great.
Absolutely
great.
True.
Terrific for you, Sarah. That's great.
It also illustrates, when I talk about match, that's what I'm talking about. What your son experienced at DePaul and what Sarah experienced walking onto that campus, it needs to fit for you. And sometimes parents, they want to wave the wheat, and they want to, you know, get a hug from the Jayhawk. And maybe that's about
maybe that's
the parrot.
Well, that's what happened with my brother. He felt very pressured going to the school he's at, and now he's on his 6th year there. So
and the fit wasn't there for him.
Yeah. So. Let's go to David from Kansas City, Missouri. David, you're on Up to Date. We're talking today about how to pick a college, how to make this big adjustment. Go ahead, David.
Great. Thank you very much. My personal experience involved me putting myself through college, and I was on the 10-year plan, and I always joked that I got out 2 years early.
That's one way to look at it.
Well, here's the thing. I had the gift of dyslexia that offered me challenges all through school, and when I got to the college level, it was something where I had to help rewire my brain to fit into academia. Yeah. I did not have an individual education plan, although many years growing up, I got to sit in summer reading classes and watch the projector move my eyes across the page. And frankly, that's not what I needed to be successful. I knew that if I had a chance in the right opportunity, that I would make it work. And it took me longer to do it, because I earned the money, went back to school, sat out, earned the money, went back to school. The reason I called today, though, is I wanted to make sure that everybody understood that there are other choices. For example, the skilled trades that we have today, there's many people that are retiring from the skilled trades, and we need people that are competent that like to work with my hand, their hands. Both my boys went into construction like I did. One went the college route. The other one went the skilled trades route. They're both very happy, and they both are very good at what they do because of how they practice that and prepared themselves to do it. So if you're not something, don't get caught up in the fact you have to go to school just to go to school. Like you were talking earlier, make a decision, put a plan together, and then whatever gifts you have, decide the best way to use those. And I believe the skilled trades is a huge opportunity for many people where you can start at a very decent wage, and you probably know an aunt, an uncle, somebody in the trades that have worked that have now retired, and if we don't replace them, it's going to be pretty tough on us here in the United States.
David, great call. Sure appreciate it. Thank you.
It's a great point, and these are what we refer to as gold-collar jobs because they take a shorter amount of education and pay off pretty well. And things like auto mechanics, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, even entry-level nursing. You can get an RN in a little over a two-year associate's degree and then bridge that to a bachelor's degree, cosmetology. These are areas people need to seriously consider. When I talk about match, and I'm glad the caller reminded me, I'm not just talking about a four-year college. I'm talking about who are you as a person, as a student, and where will you fit in best? And sometimes a trade school is the place.
Sarah or Matt, was there any doubt in either of your minds about whether you were mature enough or academically capable of sort of doing college-level work? I mean, did you go into it thinking, man, I hope I'm doing the right thing here or not?
Well, I mean, I had a pretty good GPA in high school, but I couldn't say specifically, like, I knew exactly how I was going to do.
Did you have any doubts in your mind, like, okay, I hope this role's okay?
Well, I mean,
everybody
going into a new scenario, everybody has doubts. So yeah, I did have those doubts going in. I felt like I was a pretty mature person. Of course, I know everybody thinks that they're pretty mature going into things like that.
Well, that's just the issue. So how do you know if you've got the right stuff and you're ready or not? I mean,
it just takes a great deal of self-reflection and really just knowing yourself, what you want, what you're good at, and how you deal with new circumstances.
And if you've been successful in other things, if you've been one to strive in high school and to be successful, that does help predict if you can do the same thing in college.
Sarah, how about you?
I think you really have to consider how much you desire to, like, what you want to get out of the experience. Because, I mean, I didn't have a very great GPA in high school, and it turns out after my freshman year of college, I figured out I have ADD, and that would be why. But I struggled a lot my first semester of college, but I knew that that's what I wanted. I was making this new life for me. I was going to make it what I wanted. I wasn't going to let the trouble learning stop me. So I would just spend hours upon hours studying to make it worth it and to get a good GPA out of it because I wanted to make my college experience what I wanted. So I think you just really have to consider what it is you want out of your life, and if you can make that happen through going to college.
Yeah.
And the prize rarely goes to the smartest person in college. It goes to the most determined one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me go to one more phone call before a break here. Carolyn from Kansas City, Missouri. Carolyn, you're on Up to Date. Carolyn's done some college advising. It's nice to have you, Carolyn.
Thank you so much for having me on. One thing I have done as I'm retired now, in my career is to read about brain development. And the first thing I want to say to parents is your kid's brain is not completely developed at 18 or 19. It's more like somewhere between 25 and 30.
Absolutely right.
And so the kinds of choices and the kinds of decisions that they are making can be made intelligently and rationally and all that, but it takes longer. And if you as a parent haven't let your kids, if you've been overprotective and you haven't let your kids make too many decisions, you can be sure that they're going to make some bad ones to begin with. My uncle told me when I went to college, go to a place that if your first choice of a major doesn't work out, you decide you don't like it, you have many other choices. Some colleges in those days were very narrow and in their majors, and so that was good advice. that there are choices for you. And the last thing that I always used to say to my college advisees is you pay the same tuition whether you take advantage of the resources that are here for you on campus or not.
Yeah, good point.
In other words, when kids get in trouble, they kind of freeze and they don't know where to go. Yeah. And I heard a lot of stories as an academic advisor. And I'd say, well, have you gone to this place? Have you gone to the career center? Have you gone to the counseling center? Have you, you know? And they're all there, and your tuition dollar is going to support those departments.
Carolyn, great comments. I really appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about financial aid and those finances as a factor of making this decision. And we'll also talk about this decision that young adults have to make about where to live when they go to college and why that choice might be even more important than the college they decide to attend. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed Friday's conversation about the food scene in Kansas City and our visit with Kennedy Center President Michael Kaiser, you'll find all of those at kcur.org. Tomorrow on the show, Missouri Senator Roy Blunt answers questions about the budget, identity theft, and more. We'll have a conversation about being a woman leader in a man's world in our latest edition of 90 Mile View. That's tomorrow here on the program. This hour, we're talking about how to decide which college to attend. Are you ready to go off to college to begin with? We're joined by Dr. Wes Crenshaw. He's a board-certified family psychologist from Lawrence. We're also joined by Sarah and Matt, two students over at KU, about how they made the decisions to get there as well. Our number here, 816-235-2888. Our email address, uptodate@kcur.org. Let's address this question, Wes, of what's your advice about how a family's finances should factor into a college decision? Because, you know, as everyone knows, awfully big investment these days.
Yes, it is. And the really tricky part of that is you have to think about sustainability. We talked about how people may take 6 or 7 years just to finish an undergraduate degree. And that,
for what it's worth, I've made it real clear to Nick Kraske, he's on the four-year plan, so he knows
families,
where his bread gets buttered here. Yeah.
Some families, they do that. And I will say, Nick didn't call me and ask me to say this, but I will say there are extenuating circumstances where sometimes people have to extend a little more. But that doesn't even touch the issue of graduate school. Our dear friend Matt was recently accepted to the doctoral program in physical therapy at KU. And
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, and you must have thought at the beginning you knew that you were going to have to do graduate school to be a PT. So that's something I assume you considered early on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so if you're – nowadays we have to think about not just paying for 4 years of college as individuals going, but also what if we have graduate school, what if we have an extended time. So sustainability is key. It's one of the reasons why junior college looks better all the time, because you get a less expensive, high-quality education for 2 years and can conserve resources. It's just one of the issues.
Yeah. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Let's go to Barbara from Leawood. Barbara, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm talking about the financial planning to send children to college. In our home, it was understood that everyone was going to college. It was a given. We had three children. Our son went to college first. I should say also that determination was made since we were financing college that it would definitely have to be a state school versus a private or Ivy League. And no one objected to that. That wasn't an issue. We did agree and from the very beginning that we would pay for all of our children's college educations. We felt it was our responsibility, and we did not want them to start life with huge debt hanging over their head, which I had at student loans. But anyway, our son went first. After 4 years, he still wasn't done. So we told him, he said he would take at least another two semesters. We told him we would pay for one, and then he was on his own. He carried 21 hours that semester and graduated.
Wow.
Both daughters, yes, and did very well. Both daughters were going to be in college at about the same time, just 2 years apart. So without any uncertain terms, they knew it was 4 years, or then it was their penny. And both of them graduated in 4 years, and both did very well. So I think that there's some expectations that have to be set from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Because it is very easy to get in there with the freedom to get a little lost. And when you know that it may be an alternative of not continuing or your own nickel, sometimes that may make a difference
as far as
the discipline is concerned.
Yeah, let me say Barbara. Two things in response to that, Barbara. The first one is I think that if your kids are highly motivated, paying for the whole thing is fine. I find that it's pretty helpful sometimes for kids to pay some portion out of their earnings.
Yes. You're talking to Steve Kraske.
Yeah, because when you have to sit down, the first time I ever had to write a check for graduate school, I felt greatly empowered to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what I was spending my money on. The second thing I would say in that same vein is, I think if parents are going to do that, you want to watch closely the progress. Think of it like a scholarship. And I would pull those resources the minute you begin to believe that the kid is not producing at the level you want him to. And what I have taken to doing is having kids then pay the cost of their tuition when they're having a hard time, and the parent pay the kid back at the end of the semester.
Mm.
That is a pretty motivating system, if need be.
All right. Well, Barbara, thank you for the good call. I appreciate it. Wes, you say that this decision on where a freshman lives may be as important in their ultimate graduation as where they go to school. So where they live as important or more important than where they go to school. What's your thinking there?
Well, there are really three or four options for where a person lives, or five, and which one they pick ends up dictating who they're close to during the time they're in school. And so you can live at home. A lot of people still are. And I think that creates some of the problems Sarah was talking about earlier, where you don't really move beyond your surroundings. You can live in the dorm. You can live in the scholarship halls or honor dorms. And you can live in a sorority, or you can live in an apartment. And every one of those has pros and cons. And if it doesn't match well for the individual, that can take you out of the game about as quickly as grade point average can.
You know, Matt, you've lived in about all of these, if I understand correctly, right up and down the board. What worked for you? What raised red flags for you as you went through your experience?
Well, when I first came into KU, I chose to live in a dorm that my older brother had lived in that housed 900 people.
Ah.
So, or over 900 people.
Which hall was it?
That was McCollum.
Oh, sure.
And that one will only be around for another year, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, that hall has over 900 people, so what a better chance, you know, to meet such a diverse population. and you can look at that and interpret it in multiple ways. And I really enjoyed living in that sort of residential living. But one of my brother's older friends was working in what's called the scholarship hall, which is a student housing facility that is a lower cost. But to offset that lower cost, students would take on chores around the house, such as cleaning and cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Which personally really spoke to me. I thought those are really great traits that you could definitely use later on down the line. So that really spoke to me when I made the transition into that environment.
So that worked pretty well for you then?
Yeah. I kind of did a lot of self-reflection and thought that I would do better in a smaller, closer environment of a hall of 50 people as opposed to a dorm of 900.
Have you done the apartment thing or not?
I have not lived in the apartments on campus, no.
Sarah, have you lived in an apartment?
I have. I spent the summer in an apartment.
So. How'd that go for you?
It was definitely different because I was in the dorms my freshman year, so I had a meal plan. All my meals were pretty much made for me. And then my sophomore year.
I like that.
Yeah, my sophomore year and this year so far, too, I've lived in my sorority house. And, again, all of our meals are made for us unless we want to use a microwave or a toaster to make some snack. So it was definitely different for me to have to plan out groceries and, like, actually have to make a meal and then clean up all my dishes afterwards. But I was used to doing that from home, so that wasn't, like, a very big challenge for me. It just wasn't something I was used to doing, so I tended to get a little lazy about stuff.
not hard to do.
Yeah.
So lots of things to weigh there, it sounds like, yeah.
I think Sarah So I think I could just send you in because and do the show, and I'd sit in the car because she's got every one of the items I was thinking of on her list. The freshmen particularly, occasionally families will buy a house and send their kid to live in it or put them in an apartment right off the bat.
Right.
That tends to predispose people to failure. For the reasons Sarah mentioned, the food doesn't show up unless it's on pizza shuttle or and then you begin to have to put in time and energy to managing an apartment. And freshman year, you need to put time and energy into managing yourself and getting to class and all those little things you've never had to do for yourself. You don't want to start having to do them right off the bat.
So the two of you, if you were advising other families who are about to send a kid off for a freshman year, would you advise them to live where? Where should they live in your estimation?
Freshman year, I definitely think they should choose the dorms just because it's a more subtle way to introduce yourself into a whole new world on your own without your parents, especially me because I was so far away from home. I didn't have the option to go back and be coddled by my parents again. But it's just a lot more pressure, I think, that you're trying to take on all of the responsibilities of being an adult all at once. You went from your parents paying your bills, your parents paying for your food, your clothes usually too, to being off on your own. You have to pay your rent. You have to pay your utility bills and all that stuff. It's just a lot to take on at once when you're still trying to figure out how you're supposed to study for classes in college because it's so much different than it is in high school and stuff. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it's much smarter to go with the dorms.
Because then the food's being provided for you, so you're only sort of having to pick up so much responsibility there and not the whole load. Matt?
I agree 100% with her what she just said. I think that living in the dorm is really going to connect you to people in your age demographic. You're going to be able to make those connections a lot easier. Because most people who live in apartments actually lived in student housing their first or second year and have made those kind of friend connections and then moved to the apartment with those friends that they made.
Yeah.
If you move in your first year into that sort of scenario, you could be setting yourself up for failure. And then a second thing I wanted to say, just a statistic, is that the residence halls, the students earned an average of a 3.09 GPA compared to a 2.89 off campus.
Mm. Oh, really?
So I think that can be attributed to being closer to the libraries, closer to study groups.
Why aren't you handy with those stats? That's pretty good, Matt. Yeah,
it's a shameless plug.
Yeah.
Well, also in apartments, because I took summer classes as well, it's a lot easier to slack off, I think, with your schooling when you're in an apartment, because when I was in the dorms or even when I'm in my sorority house, if I'm going to do homework, I have to be in a specific spot to do my homework because there's so many people around me to distract me that if I'm going to do my homework, I'm going to be gone somewhere on my own doing my homework. I get it all done. In my apartment, I just hid in I could hide in my room or things like that. Like, it was so easy to do other things besides do my homework because I didn't have to go anywhere else to do it.
Yeah.
So it was a lot easier to just sit. I would say, I'll just go in my room to do my homework, but then I'd go in my room and read a book or watch TV or something.
One of the things that you just illustrated there, Sarah's giving an example of what's called metacognition, and that's another sign of maturity. If you know about your learning style and how to improve it, then you are more likely to be successful in college, and she just did a good example of it. She knows where she should study, what works best for her, and if she went on down the list, I think she also knows what to avoid, problems that can be created for studying, and so on. That's a sign of maturity.
Hey, Sarah, what about this notion, and you've tasted some of this, your advice on college freshmen actually rushing in the Greek system, trying to get into a house or in a sorority or a fraternity. Does it work for everybody or not, or what's your experience?
It doesn't work for everyone. There's definitely a lot of people who drop out of the process, or they'll join a house and later realize it's not for them, so they'll drop out. It's not for everyone, and if you ask me if I love being in a sorority, I would tell you that I love parts of it, I hate parts of it, because it's given me a lot of learning experiences and a lot of opportunities to grow as a person, but I didn't necessarily find my bridesmaids, which is what everyone usually says they join a sorority for, is that they want to find their best friends and their bridesmaids. And a lot of people have. There's a lot of girls in my house that have found their best friends for the rest of their life, but it's not for everyone. You won't always connect with people on that level just because you're in a house with, there's 170 girls in my house. Just because you have that many people that you have a common thing to bond over doesn't mean you'll actually bond with all of them. So it's definitely the like students' choice whether they want to do it and when they want to do it, because I know a lot of people who rushed their sophomore year. I know someone who actually rushed their junior year.
Yeah.
So as a junior, she joined a house because she wanted to make something more for her in college. You have time to decide. You don't have to do it right away your freshman year, but it is helpful if you know, like me, that you're shy and you want to be able to make have more opportunities to make friends. Some people say, oh, when you're in a sorority, you've like paid for your friends. But that's not necessarily true, because I am paying to be in a sorority, but I'm not paying for those friends, because it's really just opened me up to the opportunities to make friends. It hasn't just given me the friends right there.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking about colleges and how to make big decisions surrounding going off to college. Let's go back to some phone calls at 816-235-2888. Taylor from Lawrence, you're on Up to Date.
Hi, thank you.
Go ahead.
I'm a KU graduate. I lived in the dorms my freshman year in Oliver, which was its own experience, and I'm greatly appreciative of that. You know, I met my potluck roommate, and he's the guy who I lived with the rest of my 4 years at KU.
Huh.
But I was given and have given three pieces of advice that I think are valuable. First was, in seventh grade, a student came back to my school and told me, keep applying for scholarships. I think it's very important for students to do, because there's money out there in one way or another that you can keep applying to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get them, you gain a valuable experience in the application process, interviews, what have you. The second was I was on a KU roadshow to promote the university,
mm-hmm.
and that was to stay involved. And I think what one of your guests was saying earlier, that living in the dorms their freshman year and just being a part of that community, to stay involved is very important, because I think that greatly affects the outcome. That if you have some kind of vested interest in a community of people who are also interested in the university or whatever topic it is that you're a part of, it's very important. And the third is, I came from a cohort from Manhattan, actually. So not far down the road, so I could always go home to do laundry. But folks who dropped out, there were a number of folks who dropped out, a number of folks who transferred to K-State. But just to take a gap year and figure out what you want to do was very important to many folks, because those folks who dropped out of KU or transferred back to K-State didn't know why they were there. And I think one of your guests touched on this earlier.
Yeah.
Just to figure out what your purpose is there. And this is probably reflecting Dr. Crenshaw's idea of maturity, understanding who you are and why you're there.
Very much so. Very well said.
Great call, Taylor. I appreciate it.
There's actually so much, such a rich area to talk about from everything he said. Just quickly, the gap year, very important for people. Nobody's making anybody go to college. And if a parent feels like making their kid go to college, something is wrong with the system right there. The only thing you want to watch out for is people in gap year. It's not a gap year so you can play more Call of Duty or sleep on the couch. The other thing I thought he mentioned was he had a potluck roommate and did well. Roommating is such a cliche problem. The great television show Felicity came out, and the first thing happens to Felicity, she gets to college and her roommate has a box under the bed. And every time Felicity comes in, the roommate says, "Did you look in my box?" And we don't never even know what's in it, ever. So this happens frequently in real life, right down to the box.
Yeah.
And some people will try to fix that by bringing their best friend to school with them. That rarely works for roommating. It's the fastest way to kill a friendship. It's all of the problems of marriage and none of the benefits. So be careful. And then potluck often works the best, but if you can just find someone that you match well with, and with social media now, it kind of helps.
Mm-hmm.
Some schools have more advanced matching systems than others. Roommating will end up being one of the best or worst experiences you have.
Yeah, boy, amen to that. Let's go to Robert from Kansas City, Missouri. Robert, you're on the show.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. I primarily deal with children of foreign born. For the past 10 years, our organization had an access and retention program. And when he touches on the maturity rate, if a student doesn't have the tools, at least, the ACT done, and this is mostly the advice I'd give to parents, if they don't have their ACT done, the personal statement, and at least selected four scholarships by the and an ACT test under by October 1st, because that's when the priority scholarships come for incoming freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not by that, they may want to look at the alternatives community college. It's a great way to, and the costs are just tremendously smaller.
Yes, yes. Robert, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Judy from Lenexa. Judy, you're on Up to Date.
Yes, I would like to counter the lady who said she told her children they had to go to state schools. We sort of accidentally found out that that was not the way we wanted to go with my youngest son. He just serendipitously bubbled in some things on the ACT test, some colleges that his friends were. And he ended up going to a prestigious school in Chicago, and that college ended up cutting us a check every semester. Didn't cover room and board, but covered the 10,000 then, it's been a few years ago, then 10,000 year tuition,
right.
And helped us out. And of course, he had very good, very, very good ACT scores. But we found out, just sort of serendipitously, target some of those schools where there's a med school and a legal school because the alumni give more money. And he ended up going there and it being cheaper to go to Chicago than to live at home and go to KU.
My goodness.
And all that works as long as that risk of chasing the money doesn't pop up and you get somewhere that quits the scholarship and then you have to pay. But I agree with you.
Yeah.
No, he had a scholarship for all 4 years, and it was, and he actually added scholarships on as he went through, as he, you know, did well and went through, he actually added on some additional scholarships.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate the phone call, Judy. Thank you. And, Matt, Sarah, you guys were just great. Thanks for coming in, and good luck down the road.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate your contribution today so much. And Dr. Wes Crenshaw, always a pleasure.
See you the next time.
You bet. Thanks for coming. And the next time is going to be what?
We're going to talk about how to have the sex talk. I am going to lay it right out there in scripts and everything.
Boy. Okay. Can't wait. That'll be in February, Dr. Wes Crenshaw. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR. Up to date, you can follow me at Steve Kraske. Tomorrow, Missouri Senator Roy Blunt answers questions about the budget, identity theft, and more. We'll have a conversation about being a woman leader in a man's world in our latest edition of 90 Mile View. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, Beth Lipoff, and Cody Newell. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date.